verses 1 to 14, and you'll find this on page 189 of the Pew Bibles. If you will only obey the Lord your God by diligently observing all his commandments that I am commanding you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. All these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your womb, and the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your livestock, both the increase of your cattle and the issue of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before you. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing upon you in your barns and in all that you undertake. He will bless you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. All the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. The Lord will make you abound in prosperity, in the fruit of your womb, in the fruit of your livestock, and in the fruit of your ground in the land that the Lord swore to your ancestors to give you. The Lord will open for you his rich storehouse, the heavens, to give the rain of your land in its season, and to bless all your undertakings. You will lend to many nations, but you will not borrow. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall only be at the top and not at the bottom, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I am commanding you today, by diligently observing them. And if you do not turn aside from any of the words that I am commanding you today, either to the right or to the left, following other gods to serve them. And our New Testament reading is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 19, verses 16 to 26. And that's on page 20 of the New Testament section. Then someone came to him and said, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" And he said to him, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments." He said to him, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honour your father and mother also. You shall love your neighbour as yourself." The young man said to him, "I have kept all these. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, If you wish to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When the young man heard this word, he went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I tell you, it will be hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astounded and said, "Then who can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but for God all things are possible."
Thank you, Edward. We join in prayer. Lord, we thank you for the reading of Scripture and the hearing of your word, and we give you this time and ask that what is spoken will ring with truth, what is heard and understood will be touched by your Spirit, and what is decided will lead us on towards your kingdom. For Christ's sake, amen. Did you hear about that couple in Scotland this week who won something over £50 million on the lottery? They joked that because the ticket had been torn in half by accident before they made their claim, they were initially really disappointed. It looked as if they'd only won £5 million. Look in the eyes of lottery winners such as them and others, and of course they are amazed at their good fortune, but for more, I think. A dawning realization that from now on everything will be different. They'll be able to do whatever they want. They will have their heart's desire. It's a sort of a universal understanding. It has always been like this. The rich are different. Oh, not in the essentials. They still scratch and itch and fall out with their children. But when it comes to it, and we know that money can't buy happiness, but when it comes to it, they are different. Everybody knows. You've probably heard of the prosperity gospel. I've mentioned those United States television evangelists several times before. Jesse Duplantis, he of the private jet, and another one with a wonderful name, Creflo Dollar, who also has a private jet, as do many of them, it seems. Paula White chairs Donald Trump's Christian Forum. Kenneth Copeland, Joyce Meyer, Benny Hinn, many, many more. All with their mansions, luxury cars, private jets, vast congregations meeting week by week in converted stadiums or specially built stadiums. And it isn't just in America, it is all around. In South America, South Korea, India, countries in Africa. God wants you to be rich. Claim the promises, they say. Use the word of faith. Oh, and by the way, donate to the preachers. If you don't, well, we'll see what God is going to do. But if you do, God is going to make you rich beyond your wildest dreams. The Pope has condemned it all recently. Some of the television evangelists claim to have disowned it, though they still preach a very similar message. Meanwhile, thousands of Americans brought upon the American dream, and millions of the barely managing all around the world who pour into the stadiums week by week in the hope that their dreams will come true are giving anything they can to the preachers who tell them that God wants you to be rich. After all, the rich are different. The young man who came to Jesus was rich, very rich by all accounts. Mark tells the story and calls him a ruler. Maybe he was a member of the ruling elite as well. Maybe he was, but what he was, probably, was one of the many who, over all the centuries, had absorbed the ancient idea that it read for us in Deuteronomy that God wants you to prosper. Do what God wants, obey the law, and what's that ancient phrase? It will go well with you in the land. Blessed are you when you go out and when you come in, and so forth. You will have sheep and cattle galore, big tents, lots of servants, Moses, Abraham, Jacob, and many others, all excruciatingly wealthy. Later on, the prophets in the Old Testament look out on the suffering people and say to them, well, if you only had obeyed God, if you'd only done what God wanted you to do, you wouldn't be in this mess, in exile, weeping by the rivers of... I'm caricaturing the message a bit, but you get the idea. God wants you to be rich. But I'm guessing if you were one of those exiles with next to nothing, except that you had this sense that you hadn't been all that bad, that you had tried to obey the law, that you had gone as often as possible to worship in the temple when your sheep weren't playing up in the fields. You had tried to do what the priests told you to do, even though you could see them dipping their hands in the till at the same time. All this began to ring a bit hollow. The idea that God, as long as you obeyed him, would make sure that you prospered. You had obeyed him, but still you were poor. Still, the Babylonians had come and destroyed the home. And gradually, a minority report had grown up. You can read it there in the Old Testament. In Israel, while the rich were trumpeting obedience to God, Psalm 44, rouse yourself, O Lord, why do you sleep? Isaiah 45, truly, you are a God who hides himself. Ecclesiastes, the race is not to the swift, bread to the wise, riches to the intelligent, but time and chance happen to them all. Job. There once was a man named Job, blameless and upright. He feared God and turned away from evil. He had three daughters, 7,000, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 donkeys. What would you do with 500 donkeys? Many servants. The greatest of all the people of the East. Read it for yourselves. The Lord said to Satan, have you seen Job? There is no one like him. He's blameless and upright. He fears God and turns away from evil. He is still full of integrity, though you have incited me to destroy him. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and inflicted loathsome sores on Job. You know the rest. The minority report. Slowly, slowly, the poor, the lame, the blind had begun to realize that the ancient rule, God wants you to be rich, did not really apply. I wonder how many people in those prosperity gospel congregations in the stadiums of the world have come or will be coming to. And they have been going there week after week, being promised all sorts, been handing over everything they've got, and still they are poor, lame, blind, and so on. Began to see that the God of Israel, if they were to believe, not only the God of the rich, but the God of the poor as well. So to the story of the rich young ruler. Simple enough, we don't need to go into it in great depth. The rich young ruler is a kind of representative of the old religion. Obedience to the law, self-aggrandizement, and condemnation of anyone who didn't prosper. Well, it must be because you didn't obey God. It must be because you're a sinner. Well, you probably deserve all the suffering you get. Maybe he's representative of our world as well. Never mind the super rich. View of most of the world, we are all, each one of us, impossibly, obscenely, unfairly wealthy. With our health care and our education and our transport and our communication and so on and so forth. The lesson of the story is simple. It is such that are the problem, it is the holding on that's the problem. Or maybe it's the unfairness of the world that's the problem. Maybe it's the casual, thoughtless way in which we dare to speak of God that is the problem. Maybe it isn't that God is not our world, but that if God is to be seen as part of the whole world, well, then he is part of the whole world and not just our little bit of it. Jesus said, "Sell all you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." And the upside-down message of God's kingdom becomes clear, as it often becomes clear in the of Jesus. Treasure in heaven, give without counting the cost, count others better than yourselves, die in order to live. It's a message that hangs over our world still, whatever our particular religious affiliation might happen to be. And if, understandably, we can't imagine a different world, a world in which the poor are raised up and the rich sent empty away, if in our view of things such a world is impossible, remember Jesus. Remember the poor who put their trust in him. Remember the wealthy ruler who plotted to scheme and destroy him. Remember the cross. Remember this table. Remember the resurrection. And remember the rich young ruler. Remember treasure in heaven. And remember, if you find yourself looking out at our world and being hoodwinked by the latest version of prosperity teaching, and it is not just the US TV preachers, it is the politicians and the banks and the advertising companies, the very assumptions on which our world is based, if you find yourself looking out on that world and saying to yourself, who and be saved, remember what Jesus said. For mortals, it is impossible, but for God, all things are possible.